Ghosts are everywhere.
Recording.
Me
is
too.
Happening.
Recording in session.
Okay, I got my microphone.
Recording success.
I got my iced coffee because it's morning.
For that's me. How you know it's morning.
It's morning.
It's only noon. Morning for you.
It's morning. I mean, it's for not me. Morning. It's noon. It's not really morning. Carly, when did you wake up this morning?
It is noon. I woke up so early at a 9 a.m. meeting. And then I had a pre-meeting before the meeting. I'm boss lady.
Oh my god.
Today.
I woke up
boss babe.
I set my alarm early. I set it for 10:30.
Oh, you are so early. Well, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
That was important context for this episode.
It's yeah, we're morning. Recording at a weird time. We usually
Good
don't
morning.
Record in the day. Hello, it's day.
I know, we record in like the middle of the night usually. This is...
Which is a little more appropriate for...
Yeah, it's more spooky.
Our, you know, for ghosts and whatnot. By the way, I'm Carly.
Spooky. I'm Cecilia.
And you're listening to Ghosts Are Everywhere. I'm sure you know that,
are.
But we just want to get that out of the way just in case you weren't sure.
Just in case you were lost, confused...
Yeah.
Maybe a ghost with unfinished business that's not
maybe.
Quite sure what's going on.
We just want to make it clear. That's what we're here for.
That is what we're here for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
this morning that we're recording, it's morning for us. That's true.
This morning. This morning. And we're here and we're ready. And
that's
we have
right.
a theme today.
What do you mean a theme?
What
the heck
do you mean? We have
whatever
a theme that we realize we've never done somehow.
I know. We have not done this city. We chose a city. A classic old school Ghost River classic is we love to choose a city and then both tell a story from that city, which we haven't done in a long time as a theme, just a city. Mm-hmm. And we've never done this city, though it's one of the like three Canadian cities that people know.
It's one of the main Canadian cities. I mean, it is a city that neither of us have been to.
That, to be fair, yeah. Yes. A lot of the times we, you know, they say write what you know. And we take that as talk about what you know or what's close to what you know.
And
we
city,
don't really know so much.
We don't
place.
Know her.
No, we don't know her. We would like love to meet her. Down to meet.
We have never been in her.
Correct. We have not.
Although we would love to be one day.
Yeah, that's he's hoping. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed we'll make it. So we're going to talk about Vancouver.
That's right. Well, I think like when people outside of Canada think of Canadian cities, they hear like they think of like Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, probably.
Yeah. Toronto.
And we've done Montreal. We've done Toronto. We've
been to Toronto.
Yeah.
Been to Montreal.
That's right.
Vancouver, not so much.
Not so much.
We haven't been there.
Jinx.
I think we've probably done Vancouver stories, I'm sure.
Oh, like we've done BC stories. I don't know that I've ever done a Vancouver story that I can remember. I've done Victoria. I know we did stories in and around Victoria.
I'm not sure.
I think
we
might have
done
some in Vancouver, but not Vancouver as a theme for sure.
No, definitely.
Not Vancouver centered.
Not the city of Vancouver as a theme.
Correct.
But we're doing it
today. Or Vancouver, as the
Vancouver.
French say.
It's a very French place.
It's really French over there.
So French.
On the West Coast. So French.
The West Coast. Best Coast, question mark?
You know what they say about the West Coast? French.
French. Do you want to tell me about your thing first, or should I go first?
Let's consult the almighty...
all-knowing list.
Master list. We should rename. I don't like the name Master List.
Master the Mistress List.
Top the Mistress List. Last week was the Cecilia special. Before that was the Carly solo. So I feel like in order of who talked last.
I suppose you should go first. Then.
Yeah, it should be my turn to go first.
Yes.
Which I will be happy to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's stop this dilly-dallying, this dalliance, this dally-dance. Let's do it, baby.
Let's get into it.
Okay, let's get into it.
Little Missy.
So, Vancouver, we have expertly set the scene for you. We're on Canada's West Coast. You get it. You know Vancouver. That's it. Island. Mm-hmm. We get it. Great.
Mm-hmm.
So in Vancouver, there's a place called Stanley Park, which is a public park that makes up the northwestern half of the downtown peninsula.
It's a big-ass park.
Big-ass park. It's about one-fifth larger than NYC's Central Park, in case you're familiar with that size. It's basically a forest. It's a huge thing, and it's about half the size of London's Richmond Park. It's just like this big-ass park that people love. We love it. Mm-hmm. And sitting south of Stanley Park in Cole Harbor and attached to the park by a short causeway is a nearly 4-hectare island called Dead Man's Island.
Ooh, spooky. Ooh,
get into it. Spooky. So the Squamish name, and I'm going to try my hand at some Squamish today, which is there's a first time for everything.
Okay.
Swatsots translates to the Island of Dead Men. I apologize to my Squamish relatives if that's incorrect, but I am trying my best. Officially, its name is Dead Man Island, according to the Geographical Names Board of Canada, in case you care about that kind of stuff. But Dead Man's Island has an interesting and complicated history, like all of the land that makes up Turtle Island, just to say. And this land has its history, both oral and written histories. You know? Mm. Classic. But we here today will first pick up the island's story with one of the first white settlers in Vancouver's West End. So we're going to skip a little bit of some of the history just so I can situate us a bit. Mm-hmm. And we're starting with one of the first white settlers in Vancouver's West End, John Morton. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Carly is allergic to colonialism.
I'm allergic to white people. I am totally allergic to colonialism. That's the every time it comes up, I just start getting sneezing.
You just start sneezing, uncontrollable. Ooh. Sneezing.
Yeah. So if I sneeze many times during today's story, that's why. So. John Morton, picking up with John Morton, he visited the island in 1862 after the government offered to sell the island to one of his partners who declined. And in this case, it's like business partners. It's not like partners. They're not like having a fun gay time, you know, not the 2022 use of the word partner.
Not that you know of.
Not that I know of, but as far as I've read, that's not that kind of partnership, you know. Though it would be interesting, though we hope. Fingers crossed. So, John decided to check out the area anyway and for himself, and he rode to the island, where he found hundreds of red cedar boxes scattered amongst the trees and perched in their upper branches. Boxes? He quickly discovered the boxes were very fragile as he reached up to touch one, and it crumbled away above his head and showered him in human remains.
Ew.
Well, they're coffins. Okay. Yeah, and this man's like just out here just touching these boxes of coffins.
They're like hanging in the trees?
Yeah, they're just like attached to the trees.
Yeah.
And he didn't end up buying the land from the crown, even though some of my sources said that after that experience, that didn't shake him. He was still going to buy it, but then he didn't. But he just didn't. So
Sounds like it did shake him.
A, would believe that that'd freak someone out, and B, would also believe that that wouldn't scare a white man. So, you know, both things are kind of, could be true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put not being shaken by, you know, disturbing a burial site.
Yeah, I feel like
site.
You could just be like, oh, whatever. There's just burial. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, whatever. This tree burial thing is not it for me.
Mm-hmm. He's like, this is not how it's done.
Yeah, he's like, I am this white man who doesn't get anything other than what I get. And I want to get this. But anyways, he didn't buy it. So just a funny little interesting piece of like one of the first white settlers to, you know. Yeah. Come to the area. But long before John Morton and his rudeness, I wrote, I was feeling some type of way today. I was like, oh, rudeness.
And his rudeness.
Well, it's rather rude. You don't just go touching people's boxes. It's not yours. What the heck? It's not for you to touch, John Morton. Get out of here.
You don't know what that is. Stop touching.
You don't know what it is. Also, maybe you could have asked somebody. Someone could have told you. Yeah. Or worse, maybe someone did tell him and he was like, I want to see. Yeah. Anyways.
Get his grubby
little I don't vibe with John Morton. Let's just say that. I'm not vibing with him.
No.
In his rudeness. So before him, a long time ago, it said that the island was a site of a fierce battle. So Mohawk poet and writer E. Pauline Johnson captured the tale as her friend Chief Joe Capilano recounted it. This is in like about 1911. Mm-hmm. Northern and Southern nations fought over the claims to the island. And I'm not going to, you know, do a whole like storyteller version of this. I'm just going to, you know, outline it because there's actually a really wonderful version that was captured by the NAC, the National Art Center, in collaboration with Savage Society. And Savage Society is a collective telling their own stories based on myth, tradition, and contemporary Indigenous perspective. And Savage Society was created in 2004 for members to produce their own stories as practicing Indigenous theater and film artists. Hmm. And they're based out west, which is really wonderful. And they do a really wonderful version of it, which we can link you to for our socials. So, yeah. So keep your eyes out for that. But I'm just going to outline it just so we know, you know, the history of the island. That's our part of our storytelling.
Yes. And then you can check it out if you're interested in learning more.
Yeah. And knowing more and knowing like the full thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's not part of my personal knowledge or story, and neither is it Cecilia's. So we're just going to relay, you know, what we're here to relay. And so, like I said, Northern and Southern nations fought over claims to this island. So this island has always been a point of contention throughout its history. As far as people remember, as far as we all know, it's always been this weird, like, in-between place. And the Southern nation kidnapped 200 women, children, and elders from the north and took them to the island and held them captive.
Jeez.
When 200 young Northern warriors then came to the island and traded themselves for the hostages' freedom, they were cut down on the spot. So it's this whole, you know, really awful but wonderful story of these 200 warrior heroes who, you know, sacrificed themselves for the return of these women, children, and elders. And it's so Johnson quoted Capilano's description of the aftermath in the book, in her 1911 book, Legends of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And it goes like this. In the morning, the Southern tribes found the spot where they fell people. So where they, you know, massacred the 200 warriors. And they found that spot with flaming fire flowers. Dread terror seized upon them. They abandoned the island. And Johnson wrote of the flowers, in the depths of the undergrowth on Dead Man's Island, there blossomed a flower of flaming beauty. But somewhere down in the sanctuary of its petals pulsed the heart's blood of many and valiant men. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the story is, you know, these warriors lay down their lives in sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And then that's where the, what's it called? The flaming flower of flaming beauty. Yeah, it's like this fire flower that grows on Dead Man's Island. And that's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. And I actually read an account of of someone who said, in the early, like, 70s and stuff, like, kids would sometimes grow up to the island and pick these red flowers. And they called them, I think they called them, like, this is awful, but they called them, like, Indian paintbrush or something. And they would, like, yeah, play with them because they're just, like, cute. So, yeah, which is a really cool and interesting history. Yeah. Which cements in our minds, this has always been a place of contention for folks.
Yeah.
And also, Squamish folks have considered the island as a burial place for a long time, kind of how I hinted earlier at it with the red cedar boxes in the trees. And they've long considered the island a burial place, and so naturally early settlers followed suit. You know, early settlers kind of just did what Indigenous people were already doing for thousands of years. And so prior to the opening of Vancouver's Mountain View Cemetery in 1887, because let's, like, not forget, like, it took a long time to get, you know, settlers all the way to the West Coast, like, white settlers,
like,
all the way to the West
Coast.
Yeah, like,
they haven't been there as long as they've been over here.
No, they've been over here and in, like, on the East Coast since, like, the 1600s. It was only until, like, the late 1800s where they really started spreading west because of the railway. The railway. And they didn't really need a cemetery until the 1880s. So the few that did were also buried on Dead Man's Island. And it was the primary space for burial until 1887 when Mountain View Cemetery was opened. But then, between 1888 and 1892, the island became a quarantine site for victims of the smallpox epidemic,
okay.
and also a burial ground for those who succumbed to the disease.
So,
I know. It's like a this island is like the Vancouver Pavelia. Like, if you remember Pavelia from Venice, it feels very, very like that, almost. But burials don't stop there on Dead Man's Island, because it's also a place where Canadian Pacific Railway workers who died during construction were buried, many of whom we know were not white, who were, you know, Chinese. Like literally 90% at least. Victims of the Great Vancouver Fire of 1886, British merchant seamen, the list goes on. I'm not going to stop and laugh at seamen. We're going to keep going.
No, no, no. We're going to not acknowledge semen at all.
We can't acknowledge it. We can't take the time to acknowledge it.
We could never.
We would never. No. It's very respectable
to
be a British merchant seaman. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's no wonder that the island is seen as possibly, get this, haunted. What? Shocker of the century. Carly's talking about something that's a haunted island.
You're talking about something haunted? That's too
spooky. What do you mean? You were just telling us history? And some of that might be because of the amount of people buried there. And some of that might also be because of its controversial and private and public past. Mm-hmm. So getting into a little bit of things that are weird, like ownership and whatnot. From 1899 to 1930, Dead Man's Island was home to a logging dispute. So the federal government leased the land to American industrialist Theodore Ludgate. And this is always called, like, the Ludgate problem or the Ludgate, you know, it's funny. It makes me think of April Ludgate from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And I can't stop thinking of it. So I just picture him, like, as a man Janet Snakehole, for those of you that know Parks and Rec. And it's just like a fancy man. She's fancy.
Absolutely.
Fancy old-timey man who wanted to build a lumber mill. So Theodore Ludgate was like, I love lumber. Lumber is what gets me up in the morning. Let's do some lumber milling. And local authorities and residents alike were outraged because to them at that point, it was clear that Dead Man's Island had been given by the government as part of Stanley Park and that it was not open for development. So by then they had already been given Stanley Park as a public park. And they all assumed that Dead Man's Island being connected, you know, at low tide and like by being so close, because at low tide, I'm pretty sure you can walk there. Like it's, you know, like one of those like.
There's a bit of a, like, a peninsula low tide.
Yeah, yeah. So, a causeway, if you will.
A land bridge.
A little, yeah, a little moment of land bridge. And so, it's yeah. So, they were like, what the hey? This is part of the park, yo. And they were, the government was like, we're trying to sell it to this man who loves lumber. And so, on April 24th, 1899, at 6:30 a.m., Ludgate headed out to the island with 30 men to log the area. Because he's one of those people that's just like, do, and then if you keep doing, people will just let you do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what's happened, you know, throughout history, and it kind of works for a lot of people, which is really stupid.
It works out.
But then Mayor James Garden, also his name is Garden, which is amazing. Of course,
okay, James Mayor Garden sounds like a fake name.
Is about a park. I know. James, it's like he signed his name and they're like, what's your last name? It looks outside. Garden.
Yeah, looks at a garden. My name's Garden.
They're like, oh, sure. So then James Mayor James Garden was one step ahead. He anticipated Ludgate's move and brought almost the entire police force with him to the island. Mm-hmm. So when Ludgate attempted to cut down a tree, he and his men were arrested. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out in that situation. One of the few instances where we're kind of cheering for police, but not really. We're cheering for the land. Anyways.
I guess they're protecting the land in this
scenario. Which never happens.
Yeah, right.
Which never happens, right? I guess this is like old timey 1899 police, which is also worse because whatever.
Yeah.
It's all bad. Anyways, never feel good talking about this. But yeah, we were glad that he wasn't logging the island. You know, that's what's good. Okay. So several similar episodes dotted the decades until Ludgate's lease expired in 1930. So it happened for about 30 years. This like ongoing, you know, like I'm gonna log. No, you're not. I'm gonna log. No, you're not. yeah, it's just like this logging war.
Yes, I am. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're like yes, I will. No, yeah, you won't. Like it's very.
You can't stop me.
I'm gonna go logging today. No, you're not. Well, and apparently, yeah. Actually, though, in a 1909 incident, police occupied the island overnight to keep the loggers at bay. Like, it was kind of a war. I mean, like, they didn't have, like, you know, casualties and stuff, but they were, yeah. like, warring but they over, were, like, over this land.
They had yeah, to be like, on historically. It.
They had mm-hmm. to be there. Mm-hmm. So they claimed they heard the rattling of dead men's bones and shrieking skeletons that threatened to haunt anyone who dared cut down the trees on the island.
Dead men's bones.
Dead men's bones. Rattle those bones. Dead men's bones. Apparently, in a Vancouver Courier piece about the hunting, writer Chris Miller described the occurrence, perhaps suspecting that human agencies rather than supernatural ones were responsible. Mm-hmm. The chief of police suggested, tongue-in-cheek, that his men carry torches so they would be braver and the ghosts a little less active. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Like, one of the, like, times in writing, they were like, oh, this hauntedness. They were like, is it hauntedness or are we just being crafty, creative cops, you know?
Yeah. Were they just trying to scare them away?
Which, like, is, for me, I think the first time I've heard of, like, police pretending to be ghosts to try to save the land. You know? Like, this is one interesting instance, that's for sure.
Scare them away by pretending we're all ghosts.
Right? They're like, I wonder what that meeting was like. They're like, guys, I have an idea. Kids, stay with me. Imagine.
Yeah.
So since the island, after that, you know, 1930s, went back to the city. Mm-hmm. And then since then, the island has become the HMCS Discovery Naval Station. And it became that mm-hmm. in 1942.
Okay.
And most of the supernatural occurrences that we've heard about today have been reported by naval reservists.
Okay.
So there's not just this, like, possibly, no, this, like, funny, hokey, like, cops scaring away the loggers ghosts, which may or may not be, you know, or maybe silliness or maybe ghost silliness, we don't know.
Yeah.
Naval reservists have also reported some weird stuff. So normally the island is unoccupied at night, but on some rare occasions naval personnel spend a night or two there. Mm-hmm. And many who've stayed over have experienced strange things. Mm-hmm. Apparently building number one, because there is a building, I think there's like a couple little buildings on the place. Building number one seems to be the most active paranormal spot. Those who spent the night there claim to have heard footsteps in the rooms above them. They even have heard furniture being moved. And when they go up to check, you know, the classic, no one's there.
Of course, there's no one there. Has the furniture been moved?
Yeah,
I
think they've heard the sound of furniture being moved. Cannot confirm that they saw furniture moved.
Mm-hmm.
They also, you know, have been like, maybe it's someone who's security, but then they find out that there was no, they were just by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As well, some reservists have seen full apparitions, and some have heard disembodied voices. And others have witnessed a strange glow through the trees, which later formed into a shape of a human.
Mm-hmm.
So all kinds of little spooky things. Oh, and something else I forgot to mention about, I think, Ludgate, Theodore Ludgate. One thing I did read is that when he did get there, I think it was either the first time he got there or one of the times he got there, there were like some Squamish homes and like,
okay, so structures. People were actually living there as well?
And I think it was, like, yeah, I think, like, on and off. Like, I don't think it's mm-hmm. been, like, heavily inhabited, but, you know, there were some things there. And he, like, was an asshole and, you know, like, fucked with them and, like, tore them down or, like, before they could get there to stop him kind of thing. And so...
And then he didn't even buy the land?
And then he did, and not a good dude. Yeah. None of these white men coming to this island are doing good things.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then on top of all that, the Navy's like, this is our base. Like, we would love that for us. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I'm just like, what, guys, read the room, you know? Anyways. They don't read the room in 1942.
Absolutely
they were just
not.
Concerned
they
with Nazis.
Absolutely refused to.
Well, I mean, they were concerned with, actually, even worse, they were concerned with, you know, Japanese folks, but whatever. Yeah. We won't get into that. It's a problem. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up the Second Great War. It just happened.
The Second
Great War. Wasn't even in my notes. Yeah. So spooky ghosts. So many different ways that they've seen them. So many different things that have happened. And you're probably wondering, oh, like, it used to be, you know, somewhere that was a burial place. What happened with that? Mm-hmm. Well, though some of the First Nations remains are said to have been moved to a graveyard near Lumberman's Arch, it's unclear whether any of the other bodies have been exhumed. And most likely, since it is now a private access island, being, of course, that it is, you know, the home of the HMCS Discovery Naval Station, most locations of these graves have been lost to time and that most still remain on the island. Also, because a lot of the graves are early, you know, early and, like, you know, like pre-contact in the West and then, you know, first settlers. So I'm like, a lot of the settler graves and stuff were like, you know, they had like a wood marker or like things like that. So they weren't never permanent. It was never a permanent cemetery. That's all I'm trying to say. It was just a burial place.
None of the like markers or anything were what we would know of like today that are more permanent and that you can actually like see and stay there.
Totally. Yeah. It's not like a, just to make it clear, it's not a cemetery.
Yeah.
And it never was either. So like I said, the island is connected to the mainland of Stanley Park at low tide, as well as via a short timber structure bridge when it's not low tide. And this is an interesting tidbit about, you know, the ownership of this land, because, I mean, land ownership is always so weird and it makes no sense to me. But in 2007, the 99-year lease between the city and the federal government was up, but then it was renewed in 2008. And the former mayor of Vancouver, Sam Sullivan, and I quote, envisioned it as the home for a ferry shuttle from downtown, a maritime museum, and a building to celebrate the island's, this is of the time, Aboriginal heritage. And the Musqueam First Nation, however, claimed the island as part of its land claim in the area. And right now, the island's future remains with the Department of National Defense, IROL, and its status is very controversial, as it has been, like I said, throughout much of Vancouver's history. And also, there was one time in the 30s where they planned to plop this like castle-like museum building with a citadel on Dead Man's Island, which just seems like, out of pocket and out of the field. I don't know why.
Wait, at what point did you say this was like recently?
The 1930s. They wanted to build a castle.
Still, why?
I don't know. I think they just wanted to. My understanding is, like you said, Stanley Park is very natural. So thank you for saying that and setting that up. Because I think for a long time and throughout its history, folks have tried to kind of turn it into like English garden, French garden style, landscaping and rework the park in ways that they thought would be, you know, helpful without embracing, you know, the natural and wonderful beauty that is Stanley Park.
Yeah.
And one of those plans, is a, a weird castle. They were like, so weird. Now that we've got it back from the loggers, can we put a castle on it? They didn't, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I did think would be really nice, would be a really great spot for a museum, in my opinion, for, you know, Indigenous knowledge to live.
Yeah, some sort of, if you could, like, just put in, like, a small building, like, a almost like a nature center kind of situation for Indigenous history, that would be really neat.
Right? Like, that didn't strike me as awful. Of course, my thought is, maybe you should ask, you know, the various, you know, Indigenous peoples in the area what they would like for the land. That's my first thought, but I thought that this is interesting because this is possibly the first time we've had a couple other instances, but this is possibly the first time where the Indian burial ground trope could be true. And so that is Dead Man's Island. And I got a lot of my information today from thelittlehouseofhorrors.com, evelazarus.com, forbiddenvancouver.ca, and Wikipedia. Oh, and forbiddenvancouver.ca has a tour called the Dark Secrets of Stanley Park Walking Tour. So if you're in Vancouver, it sounds really cool.
Spooky Park Walking Tour.
Spooky Park Walking Tour. Who doesn't love it?
So Dead Man's Island is like just kind of part of Stanley Park now. It's accessible. And
it's not accessible to the public because it is the naval base.
Yes.
But like, but is it's it kind still, of right there.
Is it still the naval base?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still the naval base. It's still being rented out by the city. But it's like, it's also controlled, yeah, like by national defense. So it's it's one of those things where this island truly has never been, it's never been clear, like, what's going on here. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's always been a place of, like, contention. And another aspect of the Squamish story that is really wonderful that I highly recommend you check out, that I heard and listened to, one of the aspects of it is that 100 years ago, it was a place of contention, and 100 years from now, it still will be. Like, it's it is kind of this place of ongoing conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing, but the quote is like, they'll be warring over this place 100 years from now, and they have 100 years before, kind of thing. Like, it's totally weird. And I had no clue it existed. Also, we've never been to Vancouver, to be fair. Wild. So maybe that's on us. But also, it's a. I read in a couple of them, Canada's most haunted island. And I was like, sure.
Like, all right, whatever.
as always, whether or not it's haunted, we've never been there. We can't say. And we also don't even know. But, yeah, just the back and forthness of it all, it feels like a place that is like the in-between already. Mm-hmm. So if ghosts feel comfortable there, it's like, okay, it's in between. Yeah. Anyways.
It's already kind of just like a strange place that no one quite knows what to do with.
It's exactly that. And I'm like, what did I stumble into? Once I stopped reading, I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And like the Wikipedia page for it is like, oftentimes we take like, you know, these kinds of stories, we start on Wikipedia and go elsewhere. And I'm always glad we go elsewhere because the Wikipedia page, after reading all my other sources, I was like, this don't make sense. Like, the timeline of things the way that they kind of insinuated that John Morton knew about the story from Chief Capilano, which that wasn't published until 1911. Mm-hmm. And, John Morton was there in the 1860s. So I don't. And Chief Capilano was only a chief, I think, from 1895. So I just, anyways. I was like,
it just like didn't make sense.
Yeah, the timeline was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't read anywhere else that was what. I don't know. It's just funny. It's just funny sometimes how you can pick up things. Mm-hmm. So learn from many places. That's my takeaway from today. Read many things, learn from many places.
Yeah, don't.
And sometimes you'll learn about ghosts.
Sometimes you'll find ghosts. Sometimes you'll find a big fucking cat eating your plants.
Sir, sometimes you'll find a cat eating your plants in your window. What can you do?
Sometimes he's there. Okay, before my story, I'm going to get rid of this guy.
Okay, send him away. Banish him from the island.
I'm going to put him away. We're
tell
gonna
him
put him
go somewhere else. Somewhere.
And then I'm gonna Buddy tell boy. You about. You told me about Canada's most haunted island. I'm gonna tell you about Canada's most haunted Italian chain restaurant.
What? Oh my god! I know exactly what story you're doing, and I'm so excited. Oh my god! I'm so excited. I'm gonna cry. I'm so excited.
Canada's. I just made that up. I'm not sure if it's Canada's most haunted Italian chain restaurant, but
I hope it is.
I'm gonna say it is. No one else has made that claim.
Yeah, make it. Do it.
Okay, so I am talking about the Old Spaghetti Factory in Vancouver's Gastown. So Gastown, according to the internet, is a trendy historical neighborhood known for cute cafes, hip restaurants, trendy boutiques, and Victorian architecture. And as I was writing this story, I was like at work. I was like sitting at the bar writing this story, and I one of my coworkers came over and I was talking to her about it. And she used to live in Vancouver, so I asked her about Gastown because I was like, I don't know if it's actually like trendy or the internet's just telling me it is. And she said that it's kind of like the distillery district in Toronto. So that's the vibe.
Okay, so if you're, you know, around where we live and you know the distillery, then you get the vibe. So it is trendy in the way that like it's very popular.
Yes, it's like high-end, trendy, very like old buildings, cobblestones, fancy restaurants, things like that.
Yeah, it's like something that would show up in a tourist brochure as cool and fun and not necessarily like your fun dive bar. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Like, really nice. Take like your parents there if they're in town.
Okay, I love it. Okay, I love it. Gastown. Yes.
Yeah, Gastown. We're in Gastown.
Not to be confused with Gaston.
Not to be confused as I texted Carly, stay away from Gaston.
And I replied with, no one shoots like Gaston. And just a gif of Gaston. I really wanted to talk to that guy, but apparently not.
No, I said to stay away. He's bad news, Carly.
He's bad news. Well, I will.
He's not a good guy. You shouldn't mess with him.
Okay, I won't. I won't. I promise.
Stay away from Gaston. Don't stay away from Gastown. You can go.
Okay, let's go to Gastown.
And we can go to the old spaghetti factory.
Yeah! Which I'm so excited.
I've never been to, but I guess it's a chain.
Oh, there's one in Toronto, and we need to go.
Yeah,
I have been probably... like 3 or 4 times. I've gone with my aunt a lot.
Oh, it's downtown. It's on the Esplanade.
I think in like 2019 we were supposed to see Fleetwood Mac, but they canceled the concert and we didn't know till we got there. And then so we just went to the old spaghetti factory instead.
Oh, I do recognize this.
Which
I
was amazing.
Been past the old spaghetti factory.
You definitely have.
Okay. Yeah. I know
it's right downtown.
This is. It's right at Young and Front Street. Okay.
Can't
so
miss it.
We'll go. We'll report back. Although we keep saying that we about places and not going.
That's
we still
right.
have not been to the keg.
Oh my god, we haven't been to the keg or to the Gladstone. That's true.
Oh yeah, we still haven't been to the Gladstone either.
I know, we're keep
slacking.
Promising places. And it's been
go
years.
Now.
We'll go.
Things are open now, we can go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to be fair, like, the old spaghetti factory is so cool. I don't know if you're going to explain it in a couple seconds, but the one in Toronto, is
not
it
really.
The same as the one in Vancouver? Do we know what the inside looks like?
So... yeah, I'll talk about the building a little bit. So this one is like the original one. It opened in 1970.
Cool.
It's in an old building that used to be the headquarters of W.H. Malkin Co. Limited.
Cool.
Which was a grocery wholesaler. So it's an old building that was built in 1912. And this, I think, it has in common with the Toronto location it looked like from like the couple pictures I saw. But it's decorated with like antiques.
Okay,
and,
good.
Like, old like artifacts and stuff.
It's like a wonderland for your eyes of old random things.
Yes.
Like in the Toronto one, I'm pretty sure you can sit in a merry-go-round. Pretty sure you can sit in an old TTC streetcar.
Yeah.
There's just like, and then there's like stuff on stuff on stuff like all over the walls and stuff. It's really fun. It's really fun.
So this is the same, and it also has an old like streetcar, which is part of this story.
What? Oh no! What? Did we just stumble into the story so quick? That's so exciting.
Oh,
also,
my
can
God.
I just talk about one thing real quick that the old spaghetti factory does that I don't know anywhere else that does it? And the first time I ever had it, I lost my mind. You can get a plate of pasta, and on one half have one sauce, and on the other half have a different sauce.
Ooh.
And I got like a white sauce on one side and like a red on the other. And I have just here to say, I think about that all the time. It is so amazing.
Like, that's such a like tacky, like shitty restaurant thing to do. I love it.
I can't even. The first time I ever went, I went with my friend Jessica. It was right before we went to Cirque du Soleil. I'm pretty sure it was Cirque du Soleil. I have to ask her. She brought me to Cirque du Soleil and I was like, this is amazing. But we also went to the old spaghetti factory and I lost my damn mind, and I had two kinds of pasta in one bowl. Oh baby,
oh my God.
This Italian. Oh, I was ready to lose it. I still am. It was years ago, and I still like.
I know you're still like losing
get
your
flustered
mind
thinking about it. Ooh, it's so smart. It was so smart. It's so. Oh, it's such a simple thing, but it was. Wow. Okay, yeah,
We'll get you your pasta.
And if I had known it was a haunted place, ooh. Anyways, so now we got to go to Vancouver and have this half and half pasta if it still exists.
Yes.
And see ghosts. So.
Or we could just go to the Toronto one.
Yeah, we'll also just go to the Toronto one and have half an hour.
Although if we're in town, we'll go.
Yeah. If we're in Gastown.
So this restaurant is supposed to have 4 ghosts, at least.
What? At least? That's so many.
At least. Okay, so the first one is, so there's the old trolley car that's in this Gastown location. So you said there was like an old TTC streetcar. This one has an old, So Vancouver doesn't currently have a streetcar, but back in the day, starting in 1904, it had like trolley cars. It had the British Columbia Electric Railway Company's electric tram fleet.
Tram.
They got rid of it in 1957 and replaced it with buses because, you know, that was a thing.
That was a huge thing at the time. Yeah. They love buses and cars and they hate public transit.
They love cars. The gas companies were like, hey, what if you got buses? And they were like,
Big Oil was like, we love you. You need this.
That sounds great.
It sounds freaking terrible. Anyways.
They had these trolley cars and tram car number 53 after the railway was like, after the streetcars were like decommissioned, this one was kept and it was put into the restaurant in 1969. So like even before they opened it, they were like, this is something we're going to do. We're going to put this streetcar in the restaurant and you can sit in it. There's tables in it.
Yes.
You can eat in the streetcar.
Yes.
And it's been there ever since. So some people, forgot about the important part, which is there is a ghost of a tram conductor that people see in the restaurant a lot.
What?
And he's often sitting in the streetcar at one of the tables.
Oh my God, that is so exciting.
People think that he was like connected to this trolley car and he came with it. There are other stories that say that he died in a collision in an underground rail line under the restaurant, but all of the trolleys were at street level, so this is not likely.
So that's just something that someone thought one day and was like,
someone thought that, and
a story.
Everywhere I've read was like, this is not it. And I'm like, okay, well then why does people think that?
That makes sense.
But yeah, there's no other real connections with the railway company, so it's probably because the tram was brought in and our little ghostie came with.
He was like the side of fries you get with a burger. He's like,
exactly.
I'm over here.
Like, would you like a side of a train conductor ghost?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I'd like to order my pasta with a side of a train conductor. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And you can get that at the old spaghetti factory.
You can get that.
You can get down.
That's a real order, I'm pretty sure.
You can do it. Although it seems that people spot him after close. So staff members have spotted him in uniform, seated at the same table inside the streetcar. The car also often has cold spots.
What?
And place settings are often shifted around mysteriously.
Come on, buddy.
Mysteriously.
Do your job. You're a man in uniform.
Come on, man.
He's
messing it up for everybody else. So we have to go and eat in the streetcar specifically, for sure.
Okay. We love a mischievous man in uniform.
Yeah. We have to call them up before and say, hey, can we get a reservation for two? We need to eat in the streetcar.
Please, we'd like to eat with the streetcar ghost.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. We'd love to eat with the conductor. Thank you. One conductor special for these gals.
We would love to sit with him. Please have a place setting ready for the conductor ghost.
Yeah, please have a third setting at our table.
Yeah, we need him.
We would like to welcome
please
him.
Give us a half and half.
Yeah, he's
red
got
sauce
nothing
and
but the
white
best
pasta for the train conductor man.
Yes, please, ghost. Nothing but the best for our guy. Thank you.
Nothing but the best. What else we got? Okay, so second ghost
the
Little Red Man, or Looky Lou. And it's not like red man, like
it's not like racist. Okay,
he's
good.
Like he dresses red and he has red hair and like a red face. Like he's
that's so fun.
He's more of like a little like leprechaun man. He's like mischievous.
Like, he's like a weird little guy.
Yeah, he's a weird little guy and he's mischievous and he's like a little leprechaun ghost. Wow. And he's a little bit of a little pervy leprechaun ghost too.
Oh no! Oh no!
So his favorite thing to do is to surprise female customers in the ladies' washroom. So he...
Sir, you are not welcome.
Which, like, he doesn't, like, peek in on them or anything. Yeah. He just, like, walks on out of the stall and, like, looks at them and is like, hey.
He just freaks him out a bit.
Yeah.
Just with his presence alone.
Yeah. It's just because he's so weird that people are like, what the fuck is this man like, doing?
They're like, where am I? What is happening?
What is this creepy man doing in this washroom? This is the ladies' room.
I love that. I love that
we
so
have
much.
Gendered washrooms in this establishment.
Excuse me. We are the Spaghetti Factory and this is a gendered washroom.
Yes. This is old-fashioned.
Yeah, the old Spaghetti Factory. It's in
the
name.
It's the old Spaghetti Factory. It's not the new Spaghetti Factory. It's not one of those newfangled Spaghetti Factory.
Yeah, with their non-gender, non-specific washrooms. Yeah, no.
So he, he just like wanders around. Two ladies once reported that they saw him leaving one of the cubicles. He was dressed in a red shirt and red long johns. Which also, like, if you saw a man dressed in a red shirt and a red long johns walking out of the stall in the bathroom, I'd be a little worried.
That's also something you'd remember. Like, you'd be like,
yeah.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. I'd be like, who is this man? He's very strange.
Yeah.
Also, just, like, commitment to the look. He's like, I am the red boy.
He was the original, like, monochromatic look mm-hmm. queen. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He only wears red.
I love that.
So the lady said that he walked out of one of the cubicles and he was acting mischievously. I don't know how. I guess he just like, oh, okay.
Maybe he was just whispering, mischief, mischief, mischief.
Mischievously.
Mischievous.
They say he like laughed at them and like looked at them and then left the washroom.
Ew.
So I don't know. He was just being a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And that's his vibe. But when they like went and told other people about this, they're like, have you seen this guy?
Weirdo in the washroom.
People would probably have noticed him walking around the restaurant as well. Nobody had seen anything. Nobody had seen this man in all red acting like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, you would remember that. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
One of the women also apparently took a picture of him, which is a weird thing to do.
That is weird.
But she, because like it's back in the day when the story is like, when she developed the film. It's like,
oh my God, she's just,
what?
She's the tourist walking around Gastown. They just get lunch at the old Spaghetti Factory. She brings her like.
She sees a strange man. She's like, I'm going to take a picture of him.
Oh my God.
But when she developed the film, he was just a blur.
What?
So he doesn't show up on camera.
That's very dramatic.
He also roams around the kitchen, like in the middle of the day during service when people are trying to like do their jobs, and he calls staff members out by their names.
That's
which
creepy.
Sounds like it would be really annoying.
That sounds awful. Because imagine you're just trying to plate a plate of pasta and mm-hmm. you just hear your name and you're like, oh, that guy again.
And
he doesn't
like,
need me.
Oh, come on, he doesn't actually need me for anything.
Come on, guy, I'm busy. Me. The lunch
yeah.
rush.
I'm just trying to do my job. They're trying to make all
get
the spaghetti.
Get through the lunch rush of the old Spaghetti Factory.
They're trying to put
sir.
Two different kinds of sauces on the spaghetti.
All of these people are asking for two kinds of sauces. How did they find out about the two sauce possibilities?
How did they know about the two sauces?
How did they know about the two sauce possibilities? It's too much, sir. When will this hellscape end? That's what they're thinking.
All right, ghost number three.
Yeah.
Is the spirit of a little boy.
So ooh.
This story took place in 2012. So this is
okay.
all kind of recent. All
right.
So recent a ghost. Server was closing in the like back section of the restaurant mm-hmm. and she spotted a little boy running around, which like it's past close. She's like, why is there a little boy in the restaurant? What is going
right.
on?
Yeah.
So
that's
she
very weird.
Like started to follow him to see what was up. You're like, hey, kid, what the fuck are you doing in here? He ran away from her and he hid under a table along the back wall. Ew. And she went to like go talk to him. And when he turned to look at her, he turned to look and he didn't have anything in his eye sockets. His eye sockets were empty.
Oh no. I don't like that at all.
Gross. Terrifying. Oh
my God. All you're trying to do is close the restaurant and go home to sleep because you're going to have to come back and do this again tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
And instead, a child turns to you with empty eyes. Yeah.
You've had a long day. No. You've worked a whole shift. Now you're closing. You have to clean up. No. There's a kid. You're like, fuck, why is there a kid in the restaurant?
Yeah, like, what the hell?
Personally, if a kid was running around the restaurant after close where I work, I just wouldn't question it.
You just be like, that's how it is.
This is not my problem.
You're like, someone else will figure this out.
Someone else will deal with this. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's like one of the upper management's kids. Maybe
if there's babysitting. A kid here after close, they're probably supposed to be here because why would a kid be here after close?
Why would a kid be here after close? I'd just be like, deal with it. Someone will figure this out. But she wanted to figure this out. She chased him. And he didn't have any eyeballs. So she went to her manager and she quit and she left.
Oh, good for her. Good for her.
Yeah, she never came back.
She was like, no, they don't pay me enough. They pay me in spaghetti here. I can't. Yeah, no. I can't anymore.
Yeah.
If I were a server and I had to close up and I saw a kid in the restaurant, it took me too long to get to where I was going. I saw a kid, I wouldn't investigate it because turns out if you do, that's a bad thing. So
yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, it's just don't. Idea. Like, that's the moral of the story. Just don't. You see a kid, you just go, okay. Make it someone else's problem. The end.
Yeah, just don't deal with it. Just ignore.
Ignore it.
Ignore it and you won't have any problems.
Ignore the children.
As we always say.
Ignore the children.
So a psychic heard this story and visited the restaurant to investigate. So she said that this little boy's name was Edward and that he was possibly connected to one of the antiques that decorated the restaurant. Because if you bring a bunch of shit into a place, haunted, some of it's going to be haunted.
Haunted antiques.
Mm-hmm. So we got a haunted trolley car, some haunted thing. We don't know
haunted
which one.
Knick-knacks.
Haunted knickknacks. Haunted knickknacks. Amazing. Haunted knickknacks. She also said that there was a vortex located at the back of the restaurant, which is like a portal to other dimensions that allows spirits to come through.
No, thank you.
So maybe that's why there's so many ghosts. And she also said that a lot of the antiques possibly had spirits connected to them. So all kinds of things going on.
All kinds of possibilities.
Yeah, all kinds of possibilities.
All possibilities are endless.
All the possibilities. The little boy has been spotted other times as well.
No way.
He apparently will bend cutlery at the back of the restaurant.
Troll!
Another day after close, the server was like checking the place settings. Because I guess they do place settings before they leave.
Yeah, that's weird, but okay.
To see that they're all, like, laid out and went to one of the tables at the back and all the cutlery was bent upwards.
Ew! Ew, I hate that!
Don't like it.
Makes you feel gross.
Or they went to their coworkers and, like, showed them and then went to get the manager. But by the time the manager came over to check it out, it was all back to normal.
No, I hate that. I hate that.
So apparently this has also happened a few times. And also sometimes he will put a chair on top of one of the tables at this back section. So staff will come in the morning and there's just like a chair sitting on top of one of the tables.
Oh my God. These are really like kid pranks. Like big time kid pranks.
Like, what if we bend some cutlery?
I'm gonna bend the spoons.
And then he's a strong little boy ghost.
Strongest boy ghost to ever live.
Strongest little boy.
Strongest little boy.
So he is usually described as blonde with hair parted in the middle and wearing blue overalls. And he's often also spotted in the trolley. A customer also reported seeing a young boy reflected in a mirror on the back wall, and he was, like, spinning around a column behind the front desk. Like, you know, when you put, like, one hand on the column and you, like, spin around
and you're like, wee!
But she saw him, like, looking in the mirror, and then when she actually went, turned to look at the column, he wasn't there.
Of course. Of course not! I really like that. That's really freaky and really cute.
Another server, after close, she said she saw a little boy in a flat cap, wool jacket, and corduroy pants. So, I don't know, maybe he got changed.
He's got a ghost closet.
Maybe he has multiple outfits. Sometimes he changes out of the overalls. He's like, I gotta switch it up. Usually he's spotted in the overalls.
Love that.
So she also, like this other server, she saw him, chased after him, and he hid under a table.
Ew.
But instead of, like, going and looking at him, lucky, missed out on the empty eyeballs, she went to get her manager. And by the time they both came back to check it out, the cutlery was all, like, in a pile in the middle of the table.
Ew!
Yeah.
Ew!
Mm-hmm.
That's freaky deaky.
The information I have got is from ghostsofvancouver.com via the Old Spaghetti Factory website, which doesn't have much ghost stories, ghost stories, but I just was looking at it. Gastown.org, and also a Daily Hive article by Sarah Anderson.
Nice.
And we have one more ghost.
Give it to us. Yeah.
So the fourth ghost is the spirit of a little girl, because we need to have a little girl ghost as well.
Of course, got to even it out, got to even the scales.
So people have spotted her. She sits at a table by the front window. She's got that window table. And she sits at the table and she holds a red balloon.
Not 99, just one?
Just one red
just
balloon.
Just one red balloon. Someone needs to bring her 98 more.
Red balloons. Yeah, they should. Maybe that's what she wants. Maybe that's her unfinished business.
Maybe her unfinished business. She heard that song. She went, that's for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we go, we can bring her 98 red balloons.
Yeah, we'll bring her 98 red balloons. We're just going to walk up to the restaurant with 98 balloons 98. And be like, hello.
We rock up to the Old Spaghetti Factory with 98 balloons in tow.
Balloons.
We get out of our Vancouver Uber, and our Vancouver Uber is a cube truck, and we just pull it out. We're like,
Vancouver
we're
Uber. Yes. We would just walk up with all these balloons, and we give those to this girl.
Mm-hmm.
So this girl,
I think it's our destiny. This girl.
She sits at a table. Apparently, I keep saying apparently.
Well, apparently.
One day, a friend of the restaurant's manager saw her sitting by at this table and went over to talk to her because he was like, why is there this kid sitting by herself?
What in the heck?
And he had a conversation with her, and she said that she was looking for her mother.
Oh, no.
He's like, where the fuck is her mother? So he went over to the manager to let him know about the little lost girl. But when they returned to the table, she had disappeared.
No. Maybe she found her mother.
Maybe she found her mother, or maybe she's still looking for her mother. And her
that really makes me bummed out.
For 98 balloons, 98 red balloons.
Maybe she says mother, but means 98 red balloons.
98 red balloons. Maybe he misheard.
maybe she was raised by balloons. So maybe to her, mother is 98 red balloons.
Mother is 98.
Mother is.
Mother is. So one last story from Chris Kanuka, who is the senior vice president. He's been working at the Gastown restaurant since 1999.
Ooh.
So, quote him. We had two ladies come in for lunch. They asked to speak with a manager as they wanted to know about the entities, as they could communicate with entities.
Oh my God.
Skeptical and not wanting to share, I asked what they saw. They described the boy in blue I told you about, the one that I mentioned earlier, little Edward. But it wasn't that entity that they wanted to talk about. It was the other in the train. They said he was mad at me because I wouldn't put up his picture.
Oh.
This made no sense to me, and they said it would be easier to explain if I took them to the manager's office where the picture was being kept. To appease them, I agreed and thought at least I could show them where we cook our sauces and pasta. We walked in, and the lady immediately looked way up, pointed at a single picture I didn't know was there. It was of the train conductor, and she said, "That's him there." The woman laughed at me and said he wants it hanging in the restaurant. There's no way anyone knows about that picture. Our owner had found it and hung it after we moved offices. Definitely not the two ladies.
Oh my god! Did they hang it in the restaurant? Did
they
hang
it? I guess they must have.
I hope so.
I mean, after all that. In this article, they interviewed the senior vice president, and he seems to kind of have heard a lot of these stories and believe in a lot of these stories, and says that most people that work at the restaurant or who have worked at the restaurant have some sort of stories or have seen something.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
And sometimes people will just like quit because they have a spooky encounter. Because
they see a child with no eyes under a table.
If I saw that, I'd quit too. I'd be out of there.
Yeah.
And be like, no thanks.
Be like, I didn't ask for this.
No, I'm gone. Bye-bye.
Oh my
Never
God.
Never coming back.
Yeah, goodbye forever.
Goodbye. Yeah, so that's my slightly less serious than your story, Old Spaghetti Factory Ghosts.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have a bit of both going on.
Yeah.
That's why there's two of us instead of one of us. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. The Old Spaghetti Factory.
Mm-hmm.
When you said stay away from Gastown to me the other day, because that's how we make sure that we don't tell the same stories. We don't let the other know before we tell it, but we hint of if we choose a city or a place or to stay away, where to stay away from. If one of us has chosen and the other one hasn't. And when you said stay away from Gastown, I was like, oh, I hope she does. Yes. I knew about it. So that, I was like,
and
I hope
I
she
did.
Does.
I made it happen.
And you did. And
Spaghetti Factory.
Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss to you. Italian hand in the air to you.
You can get two different kinds of sauce, and you can get some ghosts with a side of ghosts.
I can look at some cool shit on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah, very different stories. Vancouver, it's got so much to offer.
Yeah, it has it all. It's got spaghetti. It's got trolley cars. It's got little boy ghosts. It's got colonialism.
It's got colonialism big time. It's got islands that we can't access.
Yeah.
It's got trees. It's got trees for days.
Yes.
Wow. Just amazing. Mm-hmm. So great. 10 out of 10. Would recommend
Vancouver, a place that we've never been.
Exactly. Though, a friend of ours and boss of mine, Whitney McMeekin, is currently in Vancouver. So I'm going to see if she has a good time and we can get some recommendations from her.
We can get some recommendations from her. Yeah, hell yeah, we'll go. We'll go one day. Before then, we'll go to the Old Spaghetti Factory in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. We will actually make a trip there.
Yeah.
And then also we'll make a trip out west at some point. But
yes.
Wow. So funny. So good.
So, you have places to be. Did you have any
I have places to be, but I wanted to real quick chat about some TV I've been watching real quick. Mm. I finished all of Selling Sunset. It was very dramatic. Everybody who knows who've seen. Very drama.
Did they sell Sunset?
They sold it almost. There's still, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be another season, so they're still working on it. The long con, right? They're trying to sell Sunset.
Yeah.
Trying to capture it and sell it.
Yeah.
And it's still the long con, so not quite. Mm. But I also watched all of season 2 of Russian Doll.
Oh shit.
And
I have not
the
yet.
First
How
season.
Is it?
I would recommend. Okay. I want you to watch it because I want us to talk about it. Okay. But that's all I have to say. I love Natasha Lyonne. I love Amy Poehler. I love the whole creative team. I think it's, I just, you know us. We love things that are funny and spooky and weird. And it's all of that, right? But in a TV show, which is great. So who doesn't love that? I also just was watching it. I was like, wow, look at what TV can do. It's just an amazing time to be, you know, a watcher, lover, creator, all the television things. that we are today. Because TV is just tiny movies now. You know, if you have the
tiny
money,
movies.
It's just tiny movies.
It absolutely
like, the
is.
Scope of TV, it blows my mind. Anyways, just love it so much. But yeah. What about you? You got anything to say?
I watched Borat.
How would you think? My wife.
It's funny. It's good
it's
shit.
Funny. It is good shit. Did you watch the second one yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, you gotta watch Borat subsequent movie film.
Yeah, go watch Borat. I was like cringing through the whole thing.
It's absolutely that's what it is though.
Oh my god.
It's supposed to a little bit hurt your body, but also make you just laugh. Because it's ridiculous. Because people are ridiculous.
I was watching it with my friend and just like holding his arm the whole time, just like, oh my god. Oh no. Just like various amounts of like squeezing, just being like, ah.
Being like, oh no. Like, oh no. Yeah.
It was stressful, but it's very funny.
It's honestly, yeah, that kind of movie making is absolutely stressful. Mm-hmm. Which is why, yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen didn't bring it back until it was time for another election.
Mm-hmm.
Because I read a few articles and interviews, and he was like, for the second one, he was like, I just felt like I had to again.
Yeah.
And then he was like, and then I was like, oh no, why are we doing this?
And he's like, oh dear. Like,
it's so great.
Just like, so great. The way that people act, I was.
It's just, astonishing what people join wild. In on. Yeah. It's really.
There's like
incredible.
The scene in the like mega church or whatever. I was just like. Cringing so hard. It was really rough.
Yeah.
It was really rough. But it's very funny. It's you know,
so
he says wah wah wee wah and every time I laugh.
Wah wah wee wah. It is really mastery. It's great. We love it.
Yeah.
Big fans.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
I'm so glad Carly, you finally watched it. Yeah, Celia.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have not. Hmm. But I've seen some really good theater. Been working at Theater Aquarius this week and last week and recently, and I've been lucky to see a bunch of good theater.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so I'm sure there's ghosts. I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
Hey Celia.
Hmm.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Just
well,
you know, bad cats.
Classic.
Bad cats.
Bad cats.
I went to the
no
park
ghosts.
Yesterday and I saw some good dogs.
Oh. Good dogs are the best dogs. All dogs are good dogs.
All dogs are good dogs. And I saw some good dogs.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I love that for you. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us today. As always, we big fat love you.
We big fat love you.
We big fat love you. Follow us on socials.
Twitter. Whoa, Twitter. Yeah, that's the first
Whoa,
one.
Whoa, start
think
off
of.
With Twitter. Yeah.
Twitter. GAEPod. We don't tweet. Instagram at Ghost Everywhere Pod. TikTok at Ghost Everywhere Pod. Maybe I'll make a TikTok soon. Who knows?
Yeah, more TikToks coming.
More TikToks incoming one day. We're busy people, guys. It'll happen. What else? That's it.
Yeah. Twitter at GAEPod if you want direct links to our episodes. And that's all there is, folks. We got a little Patreon.
It.
Got a little
got some Etsy stores, I think.
Yeah, if you just you Google us, you'll find us. You know how to do it. You know how to internet. You're here, so you know how.
Exactly. You can do a little Google and get your Google on.
Get your Google on. You love it.
Get your Google on.
Just do it. We're telling you to do
get
it and do
Google
it now.
On.
Get your Google on. Yeah. Well, we love. Me big fat love you. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Stupenda.
Some real cat problems in this episode.
You bad boys.
These bad boys. These bad boys. You wanna? I'm gonna get rid of him. Oh no, we're not.
And
I had to get this.
You had to wrestle the bad boy from the
was hunting for something in a place with a lot of plants that could be knocked over.
Sir,
he was looking for a bug or something.
Sir, you're still new. You can't be causing mischief.
He's too comfortable.
He's too, yeah. He like really has made it his home. Good for him.
He's far too comfortable.
He's like, I live here.